Bush. So the headline yesterday, California and Louisiana join a 13-state federal-state offshore wind implementation partnership. That was the headline over at the Center Square. The headline at Louisiana Radio Network says, Biden's administration proposes wind energy lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico. So it looks like we're moving forward. Let's talk a little bit about the wind. Let's welcome in Dr. Greg Upton from LSU. Greg, good morning. Welcome back. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Good morning, Brian.
Glad to have you back on again. This is going to leave a lot of I think there's going to be more questions pop up throughout the interview than I'm starting with. So let's just start with the basic. The president's administration moved closer to meeting offshore wind energy goals by announcing lease sales for developments in the Gulf of Mexico. The basics here would be how many lease sales are out there to begin with and how much energy can be generated by one lease.
Yeah, sure. So really to talk about offshore wind leases, there's kind of two buckets to think about. Mm-hmm. The first is state waters. And so that's going to be from the shoreline to about 3 miles out. And then once you get 3 miles out, this is in Louisiana, it's a little bit different, Texas next door. But then you get into what's called federal waters. And so last summer, the state actually passed a bill that was signed into law. They gave the state mineral board the jurisdiction to sign leases for wind within state waters. And so that was a big step forward. And there are several projects right now that are in discussion facilitated by that action. This last week, the Department of the Interior, which is the federal government, they announced that they're going to start moving forward with offshore leases in federal waters. That's going to be beyond that 3 mile line. Mm-hmm. And in particular, the one here in Louisiana in the federal waters, it was announced this last week, is near the Lake Charles area. And so that's, it'll probably take the summer, maybe the fall before that lease sale actually occurs. But that is the timeline for it. In terms of how much electricity could be generated from offshore wind, mm-hmm. The answer is an enormous amount. I mean, the offshore, because that wind kind of blows really fast and very consistent because it doesn't have land and trees and stuff like that slowing down the wind, offshore wind farms have a high what we call a capacity factor, the amount of generation that can occur for a given size of project. And so there's an enormous amount of potential, and it's really exciting.
We're talking with Dr. Greg Upton about the offshore wind energy lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico. Greg, what does this look like? Let me back up. When you look at a wind farm on land and you see a bunch of turbines all in a, you know, like making out this big grid or whatever, what does this look like offshore? I mean, do you get the same results or do you have to build it out the same? Give me the aesthetic. Paint the picture.
Yeah, sure. So for an onshore wind farm, you're kind of constrained on the size of these turbines based upon what you can actually physically transport over land. And so typically an onshore wind farm has a lot more turbines, meaning if you've been out to West Texas or to Kansas or Iowa, if you've driven through those areas and you've seen those wind farms, you see many, many, many of these turbines out there with the big blades spinning around.
Right.
And they are enormously large if you've ever walked up to one. I mean, these things are it's kind of astonishing how big they are if you've ever seen one in person. But the ones offshore actually can be even bigger. And the reason for that is you don't have this constraint in terms of transporting it. You can transport those things over the ocean in a boat, of course, and then install them there. Now, so the result of that is you actually have less turbines out there for the same amount of power generated. The big challenge is the infrastructure of getting that electricity back to land. So, of course, you have to build out these transmission cables that take the power from the wind farm onshore. And then, of course, they need to get to a location on shore that needs that power, a demand center. And so there's a whole lot of infrastructure that has to be built out bringing that on shore. And a lot of times that can be just as expensive as the wind farm itself.
I got to ask about, this might be a dumb question, but it's one of the first things that pops into my head. It's hurricane season. Is there a point where wind gets to be too much and can destroy the infrastructure we built out? Or we will build out?
Yeah, definitely. It's a great question. And this is something that Louisiana's grappled with for a century. You know, we have an enormous amount of energy infrastructure here in the Gulf Coast region. Mm-hmm. And we have implemented what's called storm hardening, is the term that's used in industry to try to make that infrastructure resilient for when you have these storms. And a lot of the reason why we have the infrastructure here on the Gulf Coast, the energy infrastructure, is because we have access to those hydrocarbons historically, and we also have access to that Gulf of Mexico where we can ship products all over the world. And so wind is going to be no different. You know, when they're planning these wind farms, they're going to have to think about hurricanes, and they're going to have to think about the resilience of those assets to those hurricanes. And so this is not something new. Of course, there are storms at other places in the country, but I think hurricanes through the Gulf of Mexico definitely kind of ratchet that problem up. So that'll be an engineering problem.
Yeah.
You know, you'll probably see a project or two go forward. They'll engineer it such that it can hopefully withstand those hurricanes. And then over time, nature will test whether or not we were able to build them adequately.
So if the stronger the wind blows, the more energy created, I mean, could we potentially be talking about a whole, you know, what load because a hurricane rolls through?
No. So these wind turbines have a maximum wind speed, and at that point they will actually stop. So, a controller on shore will be seeing that wind speed coming in, and they will actually stop those turbines from spinning in the event that you were to have this, you know, this hurricane come through. So yeah, within normal wind speeds, of course, more wind gives you more electricity generation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to that hurricane level speed, I don't think they would be generating power during that time period.
Okay, for some reason my mind went to a scenario where, like, you know, there's a storm in the Gulf, and you're like, did the lights just get brighter? We're talking with Dr. Greg Upton about the wind energy lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico. I've got to ask the question about our current sources of energy. Are wind lease sales any different or any detriment to oil and gas, what has been our bread and butter? Would having a wind farm in the Gulf negate having an oil rig? I mean, are we replacing this, or is it to accentuate?
No, I don't think it's really going to compete with oil and gas at all. Of course, there could be nuanced instances where you have a pipeline and a transmission line and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to interact those, but that's been the story of Louisiana again for a century, of dealing with all this energy infrastructure and how to fit it all into the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big benefit to offshore wind here in Louisiana is we already have this workforce that services the offshore oil and gas industry. And a lot of the jobs and the things that you have to do offshore for a wind farm actually are not that different from servicing an offshore oil platform. And so we're really a natural place to have this economy build out because we already have that workforce. In fact, there are anecdotal stories of companies here in Louisiana that historically worked in the offshore oil and gas space going up to the Northeast and assisting with some of those pilot wind farm projects that are up there, exactly because of that historical expertise that we have. So yeah, could there be specific frictions and specific instances? Yes. But I think in general, this is going to expand the energy sector here in Louisiana and be a source of jobs for us.
Greg Upton is the interim executive director of the LSU's Center for Energy Studies. Okay, so the long-term goal here is a reduction of carbon emissions. It's probably a very basic question, but does wind have any carbon emissions? Does capturing it and transmitting it have any carbon emissions?
So every single energy source has carbon emissions in terms of the life cycle. And so what do I mean when I say that? Well, of course, you have to build these wind turbines, and the building of those turbines, it takes energy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy right now is not carbon free. And then you need to transport the turbines out there, the blades, these big pylons. And of course, all that is using ships that are burning diesel fuel. And so there's certainly carbon emissions that goes into the building and construction of these wind farms. But once they're built and constructed, when that wind blows and it generates the electricity, there's no combustion of a hydrocarbon generating carbon emissions. So in terms of the life cycle carbon emissions of a wind farm, it's going to be way, way, way lower than, let's say, natural gas or coal or a conventional source of electricity generation. And by the way,
yes,
that's a huge comparative advantage for us here in the Gulf Coast, in that two-thirds of our emissions are actually industrial emissions. And so if we're able to reduce the carbon intensity of the grid, what that's able to do is we're exporting these products all over the world. We're able to say, hey, look, our products that we're exporting have a lower carbon intensity than other parts of the world. And therefore, having more zero carbon, I don't want to call it zero carbon, low carbon energy sources can actually make our traditional fossil fuel-based industries more competitive on the global stage because they have a lower life cycle carbon intensity.
Got Dr. Greg Upton for a couple more minutes. I got to ask about double dipping or stacking the deck. Every place in the Gulf of Mexico that would have wind would also have sun. Is there a possibility that a wind and solar farm can combine forces to create even more?
Probably not. Right now, there's actually over 10,000 megawatts of utility scale wind projects in planning onshore in Louisiana. That's all over the state. And in fact, northern Louisiana actually has a little bit better solar potential than southern Louisiana. And so there are, you know, research for doing offshore solar. Mm-hmm. But at this point, globally, that's really kind of in the research stage. And so I would say in kind of the short term, and really when I say short term, over the next decade or so, I think the locations that you would be looking to place wind are going to be really fundamentally different locations than what you would be looking for solar. But that being said, we have a lot of solar going on here in Louisiana right now that's super exciting. And in the same way that wind can be one avenue to decarbonize our electricity grid, solar can be another way to decarbonize the grid, and they can work together in that regard.
Last one before I get you out of here, and I saved it to last because it's just the dumbest question there is. One of the lines in the story from the Center Square says, opponents of offshore and wind have several concerns, including the potential impact on bird populations. I know you're not an ornithologist, but are we going to kill off all the brown pelicans we've brought back home?
I hope not, Brian. I don't know specifically, but I do know that in the permitting, especially in the mid-continent, you know, you look up in Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, all those kind of places, there's been an enormous amount of research on, you know, how you build these wind farms such that they, you know, don't have huge impacts on the bird populations. And I would hope that similar studies would be done here in the Gulf Coast to mitigate those environmental impacts. But I will say, it doesn't matter what kind of energy we are talking about, all of them have implications on the environment. And it's a trade-off. And there's no perfect source of energy. And, you know, wind is very exciting, solar is very exciting, but so is natural gas. And all of those sources of energy, they have big upsides, they have big benefits, but they also have negative environmental impacts. And, you know, for wind, one of those historically has been birds getting killed in those wind farms.
In the meanwhile, we find ourselves at the cross section, at the intersection of all the different resources, because we have all the different resources right here in Louisiana, which is why we love being able to call on you. He is interim executive director for LSU Center for Energy Studies, Dr. Greg Upton. We always appreciate a couple minutes, man. Thanks.
Anytime, Brian.
Absolutely. We will talk to you in the very near future.